Ukraine chat and music. Keep it tuned to Shmoo. We promise to give you that and more on 99.8 Shmoo FM.
Running Stories. My name is Paolo and I am a passionate runner. Running marathons transformed my life many years ago. I have discovered that runners have amazing stories to tell. Those stories are healing stories and stories that help. So it goes. Don't come closer or I'll have to go. Running Stories is a radio show broadcasting some of these stories and giving voice to runners from the Run Forever Running Club, which welcomes anyone learning to run, not just the wall of the marathoner, but walls of any kind. These people dream to run forever. But I'm pure in all my thoughts. I'm alive.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray. Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Rosenberg, Sage, Bomb, Sugar Ray, Panmunjom, John Randall, the King and I, and the Catcher in the Rye, Eisenhower, vaccine, England's got a new queen, Marciano, Liberace, Santa. Block. Roy Khan, Juan Perón, Tuscanini, Dacron, Dien Bien Phu,
the shore. China's under martial law. Rock and roll and cola wars. I can't take it anymore.
Hello everyone, this is Running Stories and I'm Paolo Maccagno. Today we are at Shmoo 99.8 FM and I am with David Scott. Well, David, welcome David. Hi, good morning. David is a very good friend of mine and a great runner. So we have been talking about running and also we met in a few races and I've been in conversation with him for quite a long time. And I'm so happy to have him today here with us. So welcome, David. I want to say a few words about yourself first as introduction and then we dive in some good conversation and some topics that I will anticipate in a moment. So
thank you. It's great to be here, Paolo.
Yeah. Well, actually, the very first thing that I would like to start with is the song that we have just listened to. So it was actually the song from Billy Joel. So we didn't start the fire. And I'm really curious to know why you have chosen that song when I asked you, come in into the Running Stories radio show and, just pick a song that for you is meaningful, especially in relation to running. So I don't know if you had really in mind running or it was just, why did you choose that song?
Yeah, it was thinking about running that made me think of that song. Mm-hmm. And there's a few reasons, I suppose, behind it. The first reason is that I think all Billy Joel music has a really good beat to it and a good beat for running. So you can listen to a whole album of Billy Joel songs when you're running and it just has a steady beat that you can run to. So actually it's really good to listen to while you're out running. But I think more particular with that song, We Didn't Start the Fire, it always makes me smile. There's so much in it. There's so much of a history lesson in it. And when you are out running, some of the time I run with friends, some of the time I run with no music on. Occasionally I run and I put music on. And when you are listening to music, you always like to think of a song or music that's going to work for you in that particular running mood that you're in, something that you're going to enjoy. And if you're out for a really long run, part of the mindset of long running is just how you can cope with the long hours out on the trails and what's going to make you what's going to entertain your mind during that time. And I think a song like We Didn't Light the Fire has so much to entertain your mind. It really is a history lesson by Billy Joel, talking about his life. I think it sends a bit of a world history from 1940s to the 1980s. And each verse is a different decade. And it's just a little snippet from each thing. It's just one word or somebody's name. Yeah. And you listen through it and you think he's crammed so much in. You know, these are all the key points of that decade from an American perspective, but it's really global stuff. So a lot of it is relevant. So you hear names and you think, there's a story about Khrushchev in there. There's Juan Perón. There's Dien Bien Phu. There's lots of different things. And you think, when you're running each one of these things, you think, I wonder where that's going to take my mind wandering off to. What's he referring to when he talks about trouble in the Suez?
Thank you, David, because actually you have anticipated many of the things that I would have liked to, be in conversation with you today. So you're talking about long distance running, how you entertain yourself while you're running. But going back to the thing that you mentioned at the beginning, referring to this song, you said that it's a kind of a history lesson. I think, you know, running stories, it's about stories. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you about what is your story, you know, as a runner, because, of course, this is the topic that I would like to discuss. But, you know, even before asking you this question, I made, in relation to the song of Billy Joel, as I was telling you before we started the radio show, I was curious to know a little bit about this song. So I made a very quick search on the internet, and I've discovered that actually this song dates back to 1989, and actually it has been written, you know, in a very very quickly by Billy Joel in response to a friend of him, a very young friend of him, who told him, you know, it's terrible to be 21 when in these times. So and I would like, you know, to have spent my 20s when in the 50s maybe. So that Billy Joel wanted actually to let this guy know about the history of that time. So the song was actually, you know, a kind of history lesson about, as you said, about the 40s and the 50s. And I think that's quite an interesting thing, you know, to remind how deep history can be, and maybe we might forget quite easily. So, but beyond that, you also mentioned an important aspect that I also in other radio show I was very interested in. So when one chooses a song, especially when I ask about in relation to running, and you mentioned the beat of this song, of this particular song, and I think that's quite an interesting thing, and you immediately put this in relation to long distance running. So, and I know that you have come to running, and well, not, you know, you have come to running in a kind of or adult. You were already
yes.
an adult,
yes,
right?
That's right.
And you're probably doing most of your runs as long distance running. So, well, this is just to introduce a little bit some things that I'm interested in knowing about your story. So. Why did you start running? You know, we know that you have founded an interesting, very beautiful running club called Fit Like Jogger. So all these things, please let us know about your story, about why you came to running, what is Fit Like Joggers, all this stuff. And then, of course, I come into the conversation and ask you more questions.
Great. Well, I'd never been a runner. As you said, I came to running in adult life. I think I was reaching my mid-30s. And in that time, you know, you've got a job, got a house, had children, and things have just, you know, things about yourself have been put on hold. So there was no going to the gym, there was no activity. And I thought, oh, this is a dangerous time. It could all be going one way from here unless I make some change. And actually it was inspired by my younger brother, who had always been a big guy, and he had started running himself. He was living in Bristol at the time, and he had begun running. He started to train for something, and he'd shed an awful lot of weight. So the next time I saw him, he was down to about 12 stone, and for the first time in his life we looked similar, and he was looking in great shape. And he said he'd started running, he wanted to run a marathon. And I thought, here's me, and I've always been, you know, reasonably fit, but certainly hadn't been doing much about it. And I thought, this is my younger brother now about to show me up. And I thought, well, what an inspiration. And if he can run a marathon, then I think I could try and run a marathon. So that's what got me going. And it went from sort of zero to marathon within a year, which was, you know, probably not recommended.
yes,
but
yeah.
It was that inspiration exactly. that really drove me to it. And I started running. I didn't know how to begin running. I just went out and I would run. My legs would be sore and I would stop running. And then you would go out again when your legs had recovered a week later. So that was my kind of way of building it up. Probably not very sensible, but...
Yeah.
It got me running at least. And so over the course of that year, I built up.
Yeah, of
up
course. I think that probably most of us who have been, who started, you know, to run in a kind of advanced age already, not when you are in your 20s, we have probably been taken by the myth of the marathon. So I would I want immediately to run a marathon. So, and many of us, of course, do the mistake of pushing ourselves too much from the beginning. So if I refer to myself, I remember that the most injuries that I had were exactly at the very first month when I started, because I joined a running club, and the very first month I was always in some kind of pain because I was not patient enough. So I don't know if this happened to yourself as well.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I was quite lucky that year to be able to build up without too much in the way of injury. But it's one of these things that you have to be really aware of. And I think we'll go on to talk about it in terms of getting new people into running now and how we go about that, of being careful as you build up, because your body's not used to this. Even if you're athletic, even if you go to the gym or you're a cyclist, running is different and you're using different muscles and putting different strains on your body. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from in terms of injuries and fighting off all these things that are out to get you when you have this idea, this dream that you want to run a marathon.
Yeah, but I think thanks David, because this allows me to say a few words and actually direct our conversation exactly in engaging people into running. So one of the difficulties that I personally I'm having with the Run Forever Running Club that I'm doing here in the community, also in the prison in Peterhead, is actually to try to make people patient at the beginning, because they really want to see the results from the beginning. And they are continuously competing with others and with themselves. So if it's not enough to compete with others, they compete with themselves. So in the prison, for example, we run in the football pitch. And they do, for example, I don't know, 30 laps one Wednesday, because it's the day when I go up and run with them. And then the week after, they want to beat themselves and to do at least 31 or 32 laps. So and it's difficult to, convince or at least try to suggest people to be really patient, because running is not, you know, something that you have to gain results from the beginning. And also it's like, from my experience, I don't know yours, and I want to know your opinion, David, but my experience is that it's like a wave. Your level of fitness, level of preparation, you know, varies in time. And sometimes you feel that you are really good that day and you can push. And the other day, which it was supposed to be, you think that you might be better. Actually, you're not that good. So you have to respect that, and you have to wait for the wave to come up again, you know, the crest of the wave to be high again. So I don't know what you think about this.
Yeah. I mean, I always think people are on a running journey. So wherever you are in your running, you're part of a journey. So some days are going to be good. Some days are not going to be so good. Some days you might not run for a few weeks and then you get back onto it again. You might see people who are faster. You might see people who are slower, more experienced, less experienced. Yeah. And you're all part of that running journey. So if you get a new runner coming in, they're part of that journey too. They're just on a different place on that road from you. So I always think that... we just see yourselves as on a journey, and as long as you stay on that journey, then you're going to enjoy it. Yeah. If you push yourself too hard, and as you've seen with some of the people in the prison project, because the competitive side of things drives them more than perhaps just wanting to enjoy the journey, then they might end up, you know, injuring themselves or not taking it any further.
Exactly. So the next thing that I would like to know from you is about Fit Like Jogger. So you said you started in 2010, 2011 to start running, let's say, yourself.
Yes.
But then after a few years, you wanted also to share your experience with others, and you decided to open this very successful, in a sense, running club called Fit Like Jogger.
Yes, well, it was. I'd been running, and I'd been running for a few years by that stage, and had done a few events, and was getting a bit known as a runner. You know, my friends knew that I would be running all the time. And a friend of mine said that she wanted to get into running, and she had a few friends who wanted to start running, partly because they wanted to do a triathlon, but more they just wanted to get into running somehow, and they didn't know how, and asked if I would help them out. So I found the Couch to 5K program, and I said to them that if you want to build up your running, then we'll follow a program, come consistently 2 or 3 days a week, and we'll just build this up week by week. And so they came along to that, and we did just, we'd met up twice or three times a week, and by the end of a 9-week program, they were all running close to 5K, and we signed up and we did the Balmoral 5K race. And it was great to take these people through that whole process, and they, you know, did what they wanted to do and achieved what they wanted to achieve. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that was just really fantastic. Yeah. Well done them.
Wow. I think, well, thank you. I wanted to continue about this, but I feel that our conversation has already, you know, a very great rhythm for myself. I need to pace. I need to breathe. It's like when you're running and you feel that you are pushing too much. So having said that, maybe I would like to introduce a song. And since I'm originally from Italy, here we have a great song from a very famous and loved, much loved Italian singer. Her name is Elisa, and the title of the song is L'anima vola, which translated in English is the soul flies.
L'anima vola, le basta solo un po' d'aria nuova. Se mi guardi negli occhi, cercami il cuore, non perderti nei suoi riflessi. Comprare niente, sorriderò se ti accorgi di me fra la gente. Sì, che è importante che io sia per te in ogni posto, in ogni caso, quella di sempre.
Basta fermare insieme a te un istante. l'anima vola, mica si perde, l'anima vola, non si nasconde, l'anima vola, cosa le serve? L'anima vola, mica si spegne.
Here we are again with Running Stories and David Scott. So David, we were already chatting while we were listening to this nice song. And I lost a little bit myself in the song and in the words that we're also spending between us.
Yeah, so Paolo, you asked me about my song. So tell me about this song that you just played and what it means to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this question. Yes, this is L'Anima Vola. Elisa is really a very loved singer in Italy. I really like her so much. And actually, this song is meaningful to me because when I started working in prison and proposing running in prisons, the very first time I went in Milan, in a prison close to Milan, the place is called the Bollate. And I did a similar project to the one that I am doing now in Peterhead. And at that time, I was collaborating with Bambini Senza Sbarre, which is an NGO in Italy, very much established. I was collaborating with the chief director, who is really a very good friend of mine. And we worked for 1 year and a half at this project with quite a good number of prisoners and good collaboration with the prison itself. And, in relation to the song, after the 1 year and a half, we managed to participate with a team of runners from inside the prison and outside. So we actually built up a team of fathers, actually. So it was connected to the idea of connecting children and fathers who were spending time in prison and using running as a way of connecting them. So we participated in the Milano Marathon with the teams of fathers who were prisoners, but also not prisoners. So few friends of mine and other prisoners, we joined in a kind of team of 20 people, divided in different teams. There were four teams of five people, and each of us had to run a certain distance of the marathon. And the first 10K, we did them inside the prison, because the prison is located very close to the start line of the Milano Marathon. So it was a good opportunity for participating into that event. And when we did this first 10K, actually I brought in some very big speakers inside the prison, and we played loud Elisa this song, L'Anima Vola, and it was really a very touching experience. So we were running, and this song was going loud in the prison. There were prisoners from their cells watching us running and listening to this song. Well, it's difficult to describe, and of course, personally, I had tears in my eyes when I was running.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really, that's why I wanted to play this song, yeah.
It must have been very meaningful for those who were in prison at the time to be able to participate in an event that was also being taken part in by all those outside.
Exactly, I think so. And this is actually an idea that started when I was in Italy and is still the core idea of what I'm doing now. So the idea of building a kind of bridge between inside and outside, yeah.
And do you find that running is a great pathway towards people's rehabilitation and towards building connections with the outside world for those who are in prison?
Yeah, well, yes. And this is the big thing, yeah. I think so, yes. I really think that there's a big debate, an interesting and important debate going on now about prison rehabilitation, education. And my sense, and I'm trying to clarify this idea through experiencing it, doing it, I really think that running might be really an important, can give good insights on how this process of rehabilitation and education could be.
Yeah.
And in particular, that's something that then we can move on into our conversation, especially long distance running. So what I propose there is actually marathon running. And of course, it sounds at the beginning, it sounds kind of controversial. So people, when you get into the prison, you see that maybe also younger guys are not that fit. Maybe they really need the time to get, you know, from walking to running, as you were mentioning before, the five couch, the program from, you know, from the couch to the 5K is exactly what we also followed in the prison. But the mindset that I'm proposing is the one of long distances, of marathon running, because actually that is where, from my understanding, we have some chances to overcome the many of the assumptions on which our culture is built. So we can talk extensively about this. I just mentioned, you know, the competitive side, which is generally always there if you are running, you know, shorter distances, a 5K, a 10K, even an half marathon. But if you start to push yourself further, then that, you know, kind of value starts to diminish. You start, you know, there's something else that starts to emerge. And this is something that to me relates to what a process of rehabilitation, of education can be.
Yeah, I think it gives time to think. So it gives opportunities for processing and thinking, but it also gives those endorphins as well.
Yeah.
The endorphins. And I think people who are in prison have often addiction problems or have problems in social matters, and they find something in running that can substitute for these problems. I mean, we've seen it in train spotting as well, and the idea that actually, you know, what is your drug and what is your addiction? Your addiction is now running, and it can be that addictive nature where you're drawn in.
Okay, so in train spotting, there's a particular scene where they talk about running?
Well, in the second train spotting movie, yes.
Ah, okay.
And the former drug addict is now saying his drug is running.
Okay,
and
you have to check about
that.
I'm really curious about all these references.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. He's found running and replaced everything that he did before with the running. And I think that's right, you know, just in terms of, and for a lot of people, it's a way to spend your time. So I think if you're coming out of prison, one of the things that's problematic is that there's just, you maybe are, you know, you don't have family and connections around, you maybe don't have work, and a way to fill your time productively. And you feel that going for a run is a productive use of your time.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know, the idea of building a running club that is actually a bridge between inside and outside is exactly to offer the possibility to people to belong to a kind of community of support. So when you have finished your time in prison and you're out, you are offered already some friends, some people that you might know, a community to which you can refer, you can go and run a few times a week. And of course, this is, you know, maybe not a direct answer to all the problems that a prisoner might have when he or she comes out from the prison, but for sure, you know, having these relationships seems to be one key aspect to, you know, start to focus on for a process
and
of rehabilitation.
Running really does bring people together, and we know that from the Fit Like Joggers. It's very much a community club. It's set up in the way that it is run by the people for the people, and it's the people who are part of it that brings it together, and people enjoy running. We have 12 or 13 different runs a week that we've built up to.
I was going to ask you about Fit Like Joggers, so please Google on and tell us about Fit Like Joggers.
Well, it's very much a club for everybody. So we started off, I mean, I've told you about our initial setup where we had the Couch to 5K program, and that brought people in. But then once people are running 5K, they want to keep running. So we then just had regular 5K runs. And then once people had been doing that, they wanted to build their distance up a little bit more. So we would have a 5K group and then a longer group. And then we'd start thinking, okay, well, it's time to have another Couch to 5K group to bring people in. So you end up with multiple different groups.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty much the core of the club since we set up, was that we would run two Couch to 5K programs every year. Okay. And it's free for everybody, and it's very welcoming, and it's very easy for people to take part and join. Yeah. And so they come along, and we run a 9-week program. They come three times a week if they can, but if they can't manage, they can run themselves, or they can just miss out some runs.
Yeah.
And they keep coming back. And I think because they feel they're all going through it together, there is an element of patience and support and enthusiasm. And when you're running with a group as well, it means that it takes away a lot of the problems that people face when they're running, thinking about what you're capable of. Well, somebody else is going to decide that. Thinking about where you have to run. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Thinking about what you need to take. Well, you can ask someone. You're doing it together. Yeah. Thinking about when you're going to go. Yeah. Again, all these things. If you're part of a club, all of this is done for you. You just have to turn up, and it takes away some of the problems and makes it much easier.
Absolutely. That's really, you know, exactly very similar thing that I am actually experiencing is that the very first step, you know, you mentioned, you're mentioning that you're running twice a year a Couch to 5K program, and that's exactly the first step that a person needs to do if he wants, he or she wants to start running, or, you know, being again into kind of a movement modality. And that first step is really difficult, because there's a kind of there are so many differences in you know, accepting to do a little bit of effort at the beginning. And what you are suggesting is that actually being part of a club, being together with others, makes that first step much easier. So the being patient, before we were talking about being patient, and being patient becomes much more possible if you are sharing, you know, that effort of being patient with others. So I think that that's really, really...
Yeah, very much so. We say to people when they come on the first night that you have done the hardest part. You know, turning up that very first time is the most difficult bit. The rest will just come naturally if you trust the process and believe in yourself. And it's great, because we've seen so many people come saying, I can't run, I won't last, I'm not a runner, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not the running that makes them stay. It's the community.
Yeah.
It's the support. It's the people.
Yeah.
And of course, we've been going for nearly 7 years now, and there are some people that have been with us through the whole time.
Yeah.
And then there's a constant turnover of people as well who come. They run with us for a bit, and then
tell the people who maybe are interested in knowing more about Fit Like Jogger, where can they find you? I mean, online, where can they find you?
Yeah, there's a lot of information. So we're on all the usual social media channels. So you'll find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Fit Like Joggers. We've got a website, fitlikejoggers.com, and we use an app to coordinate all of our running events. So we meet up on Monday and Wednesday evenings, and we have four different groups go out on each of Monday and Wednesday evening. We meet up on Wednesday and Friday mornings at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then we have a longer group goes out on a Saturday morning as well. So there's different times of the week, and there's lots of different paces and distances of running groups that go out at each time.
Wow.
So it's well coordinated, and you know, we
but
get
now you have to help us then. Because actually we are trying actually to open a kind of running club here at Shmoo, with Shmoo, in collaboration with Shmoo, and the program of some activities in the direction of health and well-being. So we are planning for a first event Saturday the 19th of August, and we are going to do a kind of 5 run within an open day, where there will be also a BBQ. and we welcome children, families, anyone who wants to join in for that first fun run. And maybe if we gather enough people, we can continue with with a running club, starting maybe with a couch to 5K program would be really great. But really, please tell us some advice, some suggestions you might have how to start in a good way this idea.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear that you're planning a fun run and it's going to be a good event, especially if it's part of a Shmoo open day here at the studios. And you've got some great places that you can run from here because you're just next door to the River Don path and to the playing fields and Great Northern Road. So people like to come and they like to take part in an event, not a competitive event, but just come for an enjoyable run. And if you've got something like a medal or something at the end of it, then people always like to run and get a medal at the end. And just making calling it a fun run, but make it fun, make it enjoyable for people, a distance that isn't too extreme. And but also the key thing is getting the word out there. So how do you reach out to people? We found that as well, that social media and communication is one of the biggest aspects of the running club, letting people know what's going on. People don't just happen to turn up, they need to hear it from somewhere and they need to know what it is they're going to. I've always found that with the Fit Like Joggers, people are always asking questions, what time do you meet, where do you meet, what do I need, how much does it cost? And you have to have those answers or make those answers easily available to people.
Thank you very much David. Let me now exactly having anticipated and advertised a little bit the fun run, the next song, which is another Italian song. This time is from Enrico Ruggeri, is another very well-known and loved Italian singer. This song, I think, fits well with the idea of proposing a fun run, so it's called Peter Pan.
Dicono tutti che non c'è, ma io che l'ho visto so dov'è. Forse non immagini, ma non è difficile comprendere. L'hanno lasciato in libertà, vive lontano, non è qua. Forse si nasconde in mezzo agli alberi. Vola veloce su di noi, fotografa. Va sempre a fare i compiti. Vola veloce su di noi, cosa mi dice tu non sai. Vola raccontando quando non lo sentirai. Ti confonde, dopo ti riprende, quando vuole ti cattura. Sei sicura che non lo vuoi con te. Accompagna mare che ti bagna come fosse un tempo.
non saremo mai. Ti confonde, dopo ti riprende, quando vuole ti cattura. Sei sicura che non ci credi e non lo vuoi con te?
Dimmi cosa vuoi.
Here again at Running Stories, I'm Paolo, I'm with David. So again, during the song, I was chatting with David about a few things that we would like really to share and continue what we were saying. So we were talking about long distance running. Why? Because actually, please, David, tell us a little bit about your experience in running and which kind of races you prefer.
Yeah, well, I said I started off running a marathon in my first year of running, and I enjoyed that, and I thought that was a real great challenge. And so I did one or two more marathons after that. But then I met some people on the South Deeside Way, and they were running out to Bankery and back, and I thought that seems pretty crazy. To me, this was a whole different world. Why would people be running in the rain out to Bankery? And it was my first discovery of the world of ultramarathons. And an ultramarathon is anything longer than a marathon. So there's no set distance, but just longer
than
a marathon.
Did you do the D33?
So this was the D33 that I was watching.
I did it as well.
So after that, I thought, oh, well, this is an interesting world, and discovered that there were these races all around Scotland and beyond. And so I went along and I did my first ultra marathon, which was called the Highland Fling, and it was on the West Highland Way, and it was 53 miles.
Wow.
And of course, I got to the end of that and said, I'll never run another ultra marathon. But, you know, the community, the people, the terrain that you go to in places like this, the journey, the adventure that you go on, and the feeling of success that you've managed to achieve something which very few people would take on, was just a phenomenal feeling. And so I have gone back and I've done many, many ultramarathons since then. I think I've done nearly 60 ultramarathons.
Wow. Yeah. But please, David, you just said before, while people were not listening, because we were listening to the song, that you would better run a 50K or 50 miles rather than running a 5K. So please, this is a huge statement. So please tell us a little bit. What do you mean about that? Seems to be kind of contradictory.
Yeah, well, I think when you're running, and especially if you're running races, you're trying to do as well as you can. So if you're running a 5K race, then you're really having to push yourself. It's not going to take you that long in the grand scheme of things. And you have to work really, really hard. And especially at my age, there's always going to be a lot of people who are far quicker than I am. So I know I'm going to be working harder than I've ever worked, only to disappoint myself by being not very good. So, you know, from that point of view, I think I would much rather run a longer distance race, because if you're taking on 50K, you're not going to be going hell for leather. You're not going to be going out all guns blazing. You're going on an adventure. You're going on a journey. You get to eat. You get to walk. You get to talk to people. And I say, if you can't talk to people that you're running alongside, then you're going too fast. You have to slow it down and pace yourself for the distance. And then it becomes enjoyable. You're not thinking about absolutely belting it. Yeah. You're thinking about, oh, make the most of a day out. You're still racing as best you can, but you're preserving your energy.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is so much spot on in a sense, and in relation also to what I'm seeing in the prison. What I am suggesting is actually to be able and actually to learn to run at a talking pace. the talking pace, you know, translated in a more technical terms, turns up to be an aerobic pace, because if you're able to talk in full sentences, your heartbeat is quite low, you are in a kind of aerobic phase, and it's very healthy. So if you are talking about health, it's also very healthy. But also, I'm very curious to know what you think about the relationship that you establish with other runners, other people running with you, when you're running long distances, when you're running at that talking pace. And which is the difference between, you know, the relationship you have with people when you are in that modality and when you are actually running a 5K or a 10K, when you are, you know, so much into a kind of competitive modality and you really want to win.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about running is that you run side by side, and it's easier to have a conversation when you're side by side. If you're looking someone in the eye, if you're sitting across the table from someone, then you are under pressure to talk. So you're always, you know, going back and forth. But when you're running side by side, there's other things to look at. The conversation comes and it goes, and it just makes it a lot easier for people to open up. And so you can have very different conversations in a run with someone when you're running alongside them, rather than sitting down and saying, we need to talk about this, we need to talk about that, and things come out. So I find people are very open when they're running and very communicative. And like you say, you're running in an aerobic sense, and so you should always be able to breathe and talk at the same time if you keep it slow enough. And I think that just allows people to open up. And of course, if you're in a long run, then you've got plenty of time in your hands. There's no rush. In fact, you almost want to fill the silence with some conversations so that you can just take your mind off what you're doing. And that is another thing that allows people to open up. And so I've had some incredible deep conversations, open conversations with people through running. And you can get to the end of an event and find that you've, you know, these are often people that you don't know, that you've never met before, and yet you've got something in common. Yeah. And that allows you to share your thoughts. Yeah. And share things in your mind.
Yeah, so rich what you have, you know, said, what you have offered us. I just want to underline what you said about running being a context where actually people are side by side. I think it's such a simple but very important thing. And this, you know, it changes all the setting in where people are in relationship with each other. So actually, you are facing in the same direction, and that's huge. And then generally, people face each other when they communicate, when they are in relationships. So this also suggests me, you know, on a also quite pragmatical level, maybe next time that I do a radio show, I will ask, you know, the person to sit next to me, you know, beside myself rather than in front of me. It's very different, I think. So thank you very much for this conversation, David. It has been really rich. There are many, many things that we have said that are open up. And maybe if you like, I would like to invite you maybe another time to continue our conversation. And thank you. Thank you very much. And
thank you for having me here, Paolo. It's been great to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And tune in again soon with the running stories. And please remember about the Fun Run, which is going to happen on Saturday, 19th of August, between 12 and 2 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Shmoo FM.